Chapter 2. When Uldred is dead, Alistair leaves Braska to negotiate over the Grey Warden treaties and hides himself away in the tavern beside the dock. He wants to be as far from the tower as possible, and this is the best he can do for now. At least he has half of Lake Callanhad between him and the corpses. He has no such distance from the horror that's been creeping through him since they found the trapped Templar. The glowing prison hums in his memory, the chant a desperate murmur under it, the two rising and falling in rhythm with each other. No, distance from Kinloch Hold isn't going to do any good for that. Drinking helps, though. A lot of drinking. The barkeep doesn't care, so long as he starts no trouble and pays for each drink as it's bought. And Alistair is well on his way to truly, deeply drunk when a hand comes down on his shoulder. It takes a moment for Alistair to remember how to turn, and then another moment to make his eyes focus on the person standing beside him. The assassin. "Ew," Alistair says dully, without rancor. He doesn't have the energy left to hate anyone except Uldred right now, and even that is distant. His thoughts are occupied with the memory of too much blood, too much screaming, too many hallways full of corpses. And a voice, nearly broken but struggling on, reciting the chant, holding it up as a last shield against everything the demons could promise. "Me," the assassin says agreeably. He peers into Alistair's mug, then into Alistair's face. "How many have you had?" "Dunno," Alistair says. He hasn't bothered to keep track. "Not enough." The assassin snorts. It might be amusement, or it might be derision. Ignoring him seems the best choice. Perhaps the only one after so much drink. Alistair drains his mug, then holds it up and makes bleary eye contact with the barkeep. They've done this so often, Alistair doesn't even need to say anything. Except this time, the barkeep looks past his shoulder and hesitates. With considerable effort, Alistair refocuses on the assassin. He doesn't look particularly threatening right now. He's smiling faintly, his knives sheathed, his body relaxed. But when Alistair waves his mug pointedly, the assassin shakes his head, and the barkeep imitates the gesture. "Come along, my friend," the assassin says, prying Alistair's mug from his fist. "Don't want to," Alistair says petulantly. He expects a joke, but the assassin pauses, his expression turning serious. "I know," he says, "but I promise you, this is no kind of solution unless you wish to repeat it daily." His voice is soft, but not soft enough to hide the pain under the words. "I can tell you what will happen," he goes on. "You will wake tomorrow, and the world will be as it is now. The memories will not vanish, and the only difference will be that you can enjoy them with a sore head and a sick stomach." It's the pain in his voice, more than the words themselves, that have Alistair surrendering his mug and his place at the bar. One of his arms over Zevran's shoulder, they stagger from the tavern and up the hill, which is much taller and steeper than Alistair remembered. Much steeper. He's panting by the time they make it to the top, his head spinning from drink and the lack of air. Without the assassin's support, Alistair knows he would never have made it even halfway up, and certainly not all the way back to camp, if he had even bothered to try. Liliana's eyes widen as they move into the firelight, but she takes Alistair's other arm without speaking and helps guide him to a seat beside the fire. "I have the watch," Zevran tells her. "You should sleep." Her eyes flick from Zevran to Alistair and back. "I can keep watch over him as well." The assassin sounds amused. "I'll see him to his bed unharmed, never fear." There's some hidden message in the words. Something Alistair doesn't understand, but that makes Liliana flush with embarrassment and guilt. Liliana blushing over anything is so novel that Alistair stares, entranced by the contrast between her red face and her hair. She murmurs something in Orlesian, and Zevran replies the same way. Apology and acceptance by their tones. But then Leliana goes on, and Alistair can't even begin to guess what she's saying now. Zevran's response is equally a mystery. "What?" Alistair asks, slurring only a little. "Nothing," Zevran says, one hand stroking absently at his hair. "Sit a moment with Leliana, and then she can take her rest while you and I keep watch." "Can't keep watch," Alistair says, waving a hand at himself and almost smacking Zevran in the knee. "Too drunk." "Very true," Zevran says, sounding amused again. "But you can keep me company while I keep watch, yes?" "Yes," Alistair says, more echoing the word than actually agreeing. He's dizzy and sick, and Zevran was right. The memories are still there, still eating at him. Keeping watch, or keeping someone pleasant company, he's in no condition to do either. Leliana crouches beside him, her hand steadying him when Zevran moves away, and Alistair suddenly has nothing to lean against. He hadn't even realized he was leaning on Zevran until that support disappeared. And he doesn't fight when Leliana pulls him gently against her shoulder. She says nothing, rocking him slowly from side to side, and humming a song he doesn't know, but that makes his eyes burn. "Here we are," Zevran says, dropping down in front of them so abruptly that Alistair jumps. "You're sneaky," Alistair accuses him, too drunk to be embarrassed by how childish that sounds or by the tears he scrubs hastily from his eyes. "I am indeed," Zevran says, smiling. "It is but one of my many charms. Now drink." He's holding out a mug, full of some liquid with a pungent smell. It tastes odd, and for a moment, Alistair thinks his stomach will rebel. But in the end, he gets it all down. "Feels weird," he says. His tongue is tingling and a little numb, and he wiggles it without opening his mouth, scraping it over the edges of his teeth as if he can scrape the feeling away. "It will pass," Zevran says. He took Leliana's place when Alistair was distracted, and Leliana herself is already disappearing into her tent. Alistair forces himself to sit straight, putting his hands on the ground to help judge when he's upright, so that he doesn't topple over in the other direction. Leaning against Leliana is one thing. Leaning against Zevran is something else entirely, and not because Alistair doesn't trust him. That's too much to think about right now. So Alistair focuses on not swaying, no matter how the world spins around him. Gradually, his stomach settles, and though his head still feels stuffed with wool, it's easier to deal with when he doesn't also want to find a convenient bush to throw up every meal he's ever eaten. "Better?" Zevran asks after a while. "Yes," Alistair says. After a moment, he remembers what else he's supposed to say. "Thank you." "A favor for a friend," Zevran says, waving it away. "If I give you water, can you drink it now?" "I think so." Zevran studies him carefully before claiming the mug. "Well, let us try it and see." He picks up a water skin that's been hidden in the shadows by his leg and refills the mug, offering it back to Alistair. His hand is wrapped almost all the way around it, and Alistair has to work hard to take it from him without allowing their fingers to touch. It's terribly important, though he couldn't say why. So much of his attention is on what his hands are doing that he forgets to guard his tongue. The words fall out before he can stop them, though at least he whispers rather than shouts. "That could have been me." Whispered or not, Zevran is close enough to hear. He makes a soft, acknowledging noise, but says nothing. So Alistair says it again, more forcefully. "That could have been me." "The Templar," Zevran says, not a question. "Yes," Alistair raises the mug and is startled when he tastes water rather than ale, even though he watched Zevran fill it. I was going to be a Templar before Duncan found me. And, oh, fuck. The last thing he needs right now is a reminder of Duncan. He doesn't want to be a maudlin drunk, weeping on the shoulder of an assassin he shouldn't trust. They might have sent me to Kinloch Hold, he goes on, hating the way his voice shakes. I could have been there. But you weren't, Zevran says. But I could have been. Why can't he understand? Then Zevran startles him by saying, yes, yes, you might have been there. Might even have been the one on your knees begging the Maker to hear you. There's a bitterness to his words Alistair doesn't understand. Alistair feels like he's supposed to say something into the silence that follows, but the drink has made him slow and stupid. While he's still struggling, Zevran adds, but it was not you. It could have been. The words are so quiet Alistair isn't even sure he said them aloud. Zevran shifts to kneel in front of him, his hands cradling Alistair's face. I know this means little to you now, he says, fingers digging into Alistair's cheeks. But it was not you, and you must hold on to that. You must remind yourself of it every day, every moment, because you will see worse than this before the end, and it will destroy you if you cling to might-have-beens. He's breathing faster, his words tumbling over each other. It was not you. And while perhaps it will be you next time, this time it was not. And if you cannot learn that, then that tavern is only the first of many. Alistair stares at him, wide-eyed and startled, his mind completely blank and his heart beating too fast. Then the moment is gone. Zevran's mouth crooks in a self-deprecating smile, and he sits back on his heels, letting go of Alistair's face. He taps the rim of the mug, then presses his hands to his own thighs, fingers flexing. Drink, Tesoro, else you'll wake with a sore head tomorrow. Alistair's hands are shaking now, but he drinks anyway. Small sips, one after another, without ever lowering the mug. Think of better things, Zevran says. His voice is back to light and teasing, as if he wasn't nearly shaking Alistair moments ago. Think of the last pretty girl you kissed, if nothing else. It's so unexpected that Alistair swallows wrong and chokes. What? He gasps out between the coughs. Or the last pretty boy, Zevran allows with a smirk. No, Alistair says firmly, hoping to shut the door on this particular conversation as fast as possible. It might be easier if he wasn't still coughing and trying to smother the noise so as not to bring Leliana from her tent. If it ended poorly, forget that for now, Zevran said with a small shrug. Think of the good things only. His smile vanishes, and his fingers twitch on his thighs. If there are good things to think of, forgive me if I have brought up unpleasant memories. Drink-addled, it takes Alistair a long moment to understand what Zevran is hinting at, and when it clicks, he blurts out in horror, no, no, nothing like that, I just... He trails off, trapped but unwilling to admit his lack of experience to someone like Zevran. Admitting it turns out to be unnecessary. Zevran's head cocks to one side, oddly like the crow he names himself. Ah... he says, as if everything is suddenly clear to him. Then it seems I owe you an apology, my friend. For what? Alistair asks, more confused than ever. He expected to be mocked, and not very gently. An apology doesn't even make sense. It's not Zevran's fault Alistair has never... Make or say him, he doesn't even know enough to know what he doesn't know. Zevran is still watching him, face very serious. I would not have teased you so, had I known. I thought you merely easily embarrassed and deliberately aloof. Aloof? As explanations go, this one isn't helping. I have met many Templars who thought themselves above the wants of their bodies, Zevran says, and who looked down upon those who had not freed themselves. It is not uncommon. I teased you so because I thought you suffered from too much arrogance rather than too little experience. And he trails off, gaze dropping, and Alistair realizes with a jolt that Zevran is embarrassed. It's as strange as seeing Leliana blush. So strange, he can't help but prompt. And? That self-deprecating smile returns as Zevran meets his eyes again. You were cruel to me, he says. And so why should I not be cruel to you? Alistair's lungs freeze, his mouth working soundlessly. Since he wouldn't know what to say even if his body would cooperate, perhaps it's just as well. Zevran laughs, his eyes going bright. And there we are. Too much honesty for one night. Again, my apologies. It's fine, Alistair manages. Not sure if it really is. Perhaps we can work towards slightly better than fine, Zevran says. He's smiling without mockery, from less than a handspan away. And when did he get so close? I am, of course, not a pretty girl, but I can promise you will not notice. His hands on Alistair's cheeks are warm, rough with calluses, but much gentler than last time. Perhaps we might solve one problem, Zevran murmurs, and leave you better things to think on. Alistair's heart is beating so hard his stomach is turning over again. He doesn't care, because his stomach may be queasy, but the rest of his body is starting to burn as Zevran leans slowly in without breaking eye contact. Alistair is aware of his breath first, then the heat of his skin, warm even before their lips meet. The first touch leaves him breathless, and he presses forward, wanting more. He may not have kissed anyone, but he's seen others do it, and it's never looked difficult. Zevran's hands tighten on his face, holding him back. Slow down, Tesoro. He's so close. Alistair can feel his breath as he speaks. Let me show you. It should be embarrassing that he can't even manage something so basic as a kiss, but Zevran is smiling at him. One of his thumbs traces Alistair's mouth, skin catching against skin very slightly. And when Alistair licks his lips, he tastes the faint hint of salt. Zevran kisses him again, his lips as gentle as his thumb was a moment ago, just close enough to count as a kiss. Alistair wants to touch him, run his hands through all that long blonde hair, hold Zevran's face the way he's holding Alistair's right now. He wants to kiss the tattoo on Zevran's cheek with those light, teasing kisses, trace the ink on Zevran's back with his tongue. He wants to put his mouth and his fingers everywhere Zevran will let him, because Zevran is as good as his word. Alistair doesn't care that he isn't a girl. He wants more, but the tease becomes its own pleasure after a while. The light touch of Zevran's lips on his, the promise of what's to come hot inside him. It doesn't matter that he doesn't know what comes next. Zevran's mouth promises him more, if he's patient, if he's good. Alistair is prepared to be as patient as it takes. Zevran's tongue flicks out, tasting the corner of his mouth, and Alistair's mouth opens involuntarily. He wants to chase that touch, imitate it so that he can feel Zevran's lips with his own tongue. But he waits the way he was told, letting Zevran trace his upper lip, suck briefly on the lower one, anticipating the next move even as pleasure jolts through him now. When Zevran's tongue at last slips into his mouth, Alistair makes a small, helpless noise. His hands clench into fists, gripping his trousers for lack of anything better, like Zevran's shirt or hair to hang on to. Zevran gives him a purring hum and presses in closer, tilting Alistair's head with gentle pressure from his hands. The kiss is forceful now, Zevran's tongue thrusting into his mouth, Alistair's lips crushed between his teeth, and still he wants more, closer, harder. He's gasping for breath when Zevran pulls away, but he chases Zevran's mouth anyway. Zevran laughs softly and doesn't let him close the distance between them. "There," he says, ignoring the way Alistair is pushing against his hands. "Now you can say that you have kissed someone, though, of course, all future kisses will pale beside my own." Alistair snorts his opinion of that, and Zevran kisses him again, his tongue pressing insistently against Alistair's lips right from the start. He's rougher this time, mouth more demanding, nipping occasionally at Alistair's lips, hard enough to sting. Hungry like he wants to devour Alistair, starting with his mouth. And Alistair is more than willing to let him. This time, when they pull apart, Zevran is breathing faster, too. Another surge of heat goes through Alistair. He did that. Or rather, kissing him did that. Kissing him has left Zevran breathless, his voice rough as he says, "So tell me how it happened that a man as handsome as yourself has never been kissed." He sounds curious rather than mocking, and Alistair says, "It just did." He stops fighting Zevran's hands and opens his eyes. Zevran is far enough away for his eyes to focus, but still close enough that it's hard for Alistair to think of anything except kissing him again. "I was with the Templars a long time, and before that?" Before that, he'd been in Aemon's house, and Isolde had always made her distaste for him plain. That feeling of being constantly under a disapproving eye didn't exactly encourage youthful exploration. And he really doesn't want to think about Isolde right now. "There just wasn't an opportunity," he says. "I didn't want to be a Templar, and most of the others did, so I didn't have many friends there. And, I wanted to be friends. Want to be friends, if I'm going to kiss someone." "I shall take that as a compliment," Zevran says. Alistair hadn't actually intended it that way, but he feels the truth of it, now the words are out. "Can we go back to kissing?" he asks, rather than think about it. For an answer, Zevran kisses him again, more of the light, lingering kisses that tease him with possibilities. Alistair's cock is hard, painfully confined by his trousers, and he wonders what Zevran would do if he started to stroke himself. Or he could stroke Zevran instead, a thought that stabs heat through him from throat to groin. Zevran breaks the kiss and leans back, his fingers sliding across Alistair's lips as he lets go. Alistair reaches for him, but Zevran shakes his head and says quietly, "No." "No?" "No," Zevran says. "Else our red-haired friend will have been right to think I wish to take advantage of you in your moment of weakness." "She did?" Alistair asks stupidly, before the memory of that brief exchange in Orlesian comes back to him. "That's terrible!" "Ah, well," Zevran says with a casual shrug. "What can one do with bards? They do love to think up tales." There's something hidden in that shrug and Zevran's tone. Something Alistair can't fathom through the drink and the exhaustion. His cock isn't helping matters, demanding that he give up thinking and try again to get Zevran to kiss him. But he has just enough pride left to swallow down that urge. "Here we are," Zevran says, and Alistair blinks to find him holding out the mug, freshly topped off with water. His smile is easy, as his shrug was a moment ago, as if he wasn't almost up in Alistair's lap before that. Alistair wants to ask if it was all a game or a joke, but he's afraid the answer will be yes, and he can't stand the thought. Silence rarely gets him into trouble, so he drinks and keeps quiet. The next morning, his head aches a little, but no worse than it has after a particularly hard blow in a fight. Zevran makes no mention of the kiss and treats him no differently than any other morning. By the time they break camp Alistair has to admit to himself with a pang that's equal parts embarrassment and disappointment that Zevran's motivation for kissing him was simple pity. A favor for a friend. Nothing more. It chafes him briefly, but it's difficult to keep something so petty at the forefront of his mind when memories of Kinloch Hold are still too fresh. The others are subdued as well, and there are no jokes at all for the next several days. They walk in silence, and as they walk, Alistair does his best to ward off the memory of a Templar on his knees, with Zevran's words, "It wasn't me." Whatever happens later, he's alive, and relatively unscathed, and he holds onto it as tightly as Zevran might want. And at night, when the darkspawn dreams merge with his memories and leave him thrashing, Zevran wakes him, gentle fingers on his forehead, a voice calling his name until he answers. Little things, never mentioned in the light of day, but precious to Alistair, even if Zevran considers them of no consequence. The jokes return eventually, as Kinloch Hold disappears behind them both physically and mentally. They're the same jokes as ever, but the way Zevran tells them has changed. There are little signals now that say when he's joking and when he's not. A tilt to his eyebrows, or a glance down, or a small flick of his fingers. Alistair knows those signs are for him, doubts anyone else has even noticed, and it makes everything a joke within a joke. The others may understand things he doesn't, but now he understands a joke they don't. Sometimes, Alistair will look up across the fire at night, and Zevran will raise his eyebrows briefly, though no one has said anything, and Alistair will have to stifle a laugh if he doesn't want the others to stare at him. The first time Zevran does that to him, Alistair punches him in the arm as soon as they're alone in their tent. "Asshole," he mutters, amused and annoyed both. "I beg your pardon most humbly," Zevran says, sounding nothing of the sort. He's close, his face bright with laughter, and Alistair wants badly to kiss him. He turns away instead and busies himself with getting ready for sleep, reminding himself that he doesn't even like men, not that way. Besides, the kiss meant nothing to Zevran, and Alistair won't embarrass both of them by trying to make it more.